Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
Good morning, and you're all very welcome to our Sunday morning service, our Connect service. And it's lovely to see you all. We have one or two notices as organizations are starting up again. And when I say one or two, I mean 15. So what we'll do is we'll give you a rundown of things that are happening this week, and then we'll move on in our service of worship. So this week on Wednesday, Pilates is up and running and has been up and running for a while. And our service of Holy Communion will be restarting after the summer holidays. That will be on Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. in this room here. Just to let you know, Toddlers is going to be starting on the 11th, Monday the 11th. And for later on in your diaries, we have an Evensong, which is going to be our choir leading and taking part, but Evensong will be on Wednesday the 13th of September at St. Malua's Church. And our speaker there will be Greg Downs, who is speaking at the Bishop's Bible Week over the last week. So that would be lovely to have him. You will also get an opportunity to hear Greg Downs again on Tuesday night this week. He's in St. Malua's again for a service of healing. So that's this coming Tuesday. I want to let you know that the Garden of Remembrance is available, and there is access to our Garden of Remembrance at any time over the coming weeks. If you can access it through the main gate down on Craigor Park, and there is a lock there. If you don't know the combination for the lock, come and ask me or someone, or Jono or someone on the vestry, and we'll let you know. What we would ask is if you could come up, take all the time you need and want in the Garden of Remembrance, and then just lock the door after you when you leave. Let me just have a quick scan of my notes. At the end of today's service, we're going to ask for a couple of people to give us a hand in moving some chairs. In this hall, we're going to put the plastic chairs away and rearrange the nice comfy red ones for crafters. Crafters are resuming this week on Tuesday, and so we're going to set things up nicely for them. Also, we'd ask for one or two people to help upstairs after the Sunday school have finished. We'll be using the hall upstairs for the evening service. And so if one or two people could help lay out some chairs for the evening service, it does just take 15 minutes. So we thank you very much for that. And I have a funny feeling that is all of our notices. We have a special visitor today, and have had a special visitor for the last week or so, all the way from Canada. We've got Ken and Margaret Sloan's daughter and granddaughter here. I wanted to say hello to Genevieve, making the journey over here. Let's give you both a welcome. It's lovely to have you. We saw you last week, but didn't say a proper hello. It's lovely to have you. Sunday school restarts this week. And if children and young people would go out during the second song and have your time together as a Sunday school. And before we pray together, and there will be some words to an opening prayer on the screen, before we pray together, I'd like to say a quick prayer for our Sunday school children and our Sunday school leaders as our new term starts. Let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Sunday school. We thank you for that special, precious thing of having children and young people in the church. And over this week and the coming weeks, would you help them to learn more about you and more about one another? And most of all, would you teach them that you love them and that you have given everything for them? Be with the Sunday school leaders and teachers and volunteers. Thank you for the time that they give. Would you honor them and refresh them and give them all they need to share your word with our children? We pray these things in your dear name. Amen. Let's continue in prayer together. And our opening prayer is going to be shared as we pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together in worship and praise. We ask that you would bless our time together today and that each person would be open to hearing your word and would respond in loving obedience. Amen. Let's stand and sing together, Wake Up.
Wake up, my soul, wake instruments of music. Wake my strength, my will, my tongue, and fill this house with thankful song. Wake up, my soul, wake instruments of music. Wake my strength, my will, my tongue, and fill this house with thankful song. Be exalted, high above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth, the sky, the sea. Oh, the love of God that reaches far and wide from Calvary. Wake up, my spirit, awake. Let faith and love awaken. Long and dark may be the night, but we will wake up the sun. Be exalted, high above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth, the sky, the sea. Oh, the love of God that reaches far and wide from Calvary. Shout at dead of night, awake, O church, and slumber. Keep the fires burning bright, be ready when the bridegroom comes. Wake up, my soul, wake instruments of music. Wake my strength, my will, my tongue, and fill this house with thankful song. Wake up, my soul, wake instruments of music. Strength, my will, my tongue, and fill this house with thankful song.
Please take your seats. As we come together as church and as we meet together and meet with God, it is good to take time to remember that God who loves us is perfect, and God who loves us wants us close to him. And there are things that have come to mind or things that we've said and done over the last week which fall short of what we know is right in our relationship with one another and our relationship with God. So let's take time to pray together the words on the screen as we bring ourselves in openness and honesty and confession to God. Let us pray. God of everlasting love, we confess that we have been unfaithful to our covenant with you and with one another. We have worshipped other gods, money, power, greed, and convenience. We have served our own self-interest instead of serving only you and your people. We have not loved our neighbor as you have commanded, nor have we rightly loved ourselves. Forgive us, gracious God, and bring us back into the fullness of our covenant with you and one another through Christ our Lord. Amen. As we accept God's forgiveness and celebrate God's forgiveness, let's stand and sing again, His mercy is more.
What love could remember, no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not the sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. What patience would wait as we constantly roam. What father so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, there are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. What riches of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood neath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more.
Please take your seats. Our Bible reading this morning is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 19, and starting at verse 1. Then Pontius Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify, crucify." But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said, "Do you realize that I have the power either to free you or crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." This is the word of the Lord. As we process those words and meditate on those words, let's stand and sing together 10,000 reasons.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing. Time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your.
Let's stay standing as we declare together our faith. Let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to ask you to take your seats now. And as we approach God's word and as we think about unpacking some of the ideas in God's kingdom, let's sing together while we're seated. My worth is not in what I own.
My worth is not in what I own, not in the strength of flesh and bone, but in the costly wounds of love. At My worth is not in skill or name, to win or lose in pride or shame, but in the blood of Christ that flowed at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him, no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone. As summer flowers, we fade and die. Fame, youth, and beauty hurry by. But a life eternal calls to us at the cross. I will not boast in wealth or might, or human wisdom's fading light, but I will boast in knowing Christ at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him, no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone. I will not fear that I confess my worth and my unworthiness. My value fixed, my ransom paid at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him, no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him, no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we think this morning of your kingdom, would you be with us? Help us to take on board ideas. Help us to process ideas. And help us to recognize your Son as our King. Amen. So, have you ever been in the hands of someone who's not very good at what they're doing? This morning aside, I have. And I bet we've all, for example, been in a car when someone who's driving shouldn't be at the wheel at all for whatever reason. It's a bit hairy. And I remember when I was younger and my friends started getting their license, there was a few close calls. I bet we've all watched a football game or a tennis match when it looks like the player or players on the pitch is just lost a handle on what they're doing. No matter how much you yell at the television or yell at the referee, the inevitable loss will come. And ministers are not immune in any way, shape, or form. We've all been in services where the speaker or leader has made literally no sense whatsoever. I remember many years ago in a church, we had a visiting speaker who, bless him, he just came apart, dissolved in front of us all. It was not a good morning for him, not a good morning for us. It's hard, and these things happen when the person who is, to all intents and purposes, running the show loses it. It can be unsettling. Sometimes it's more than unsettling. Sometimes it's fearful to watch, like being in that car. James and John and the rest of Jesus' friends and disciples entered Jerusalem with Jesus in the understanding that this was it. there was going to be a bid for power. And if there was going to be any bid for power on behalf of Jesus, any overturning of fortunes, if the Jews' Messiah, if their Savior was going to come and do their thing, Jerusalem was only ever going to be ground zero. That was the place. Of course, James and John had already had a quiet word with Jesus over the last few days. And they said, when you come to power, when you take over, can one of us be in your right-hand side? Can one of us be on your left-hand side? Can we be your lieutenants? And Jesus had explained a few times that their expectations were wrong. And I don't think the penny really dropped with them or the rest of Jesus' friends until after the crucifixion. A kingdom needs a king. A kingdom needs a ruler. And Jesus, the Messiah, had arrived in Jerusalem to take his crown, to be robed, and to be enthroned, and to be announced to all of creation. But to all intents and purposes, he did not seem to be a very good king at that. Yes, he was crowned, but he was crowned with a crown that was put on him by those people who were punching him. Yes, he was robed, but he was being robed by the people who were slapping him and pulling out his beard. Yes, he was enthroned, but not on a throne as you and I would want it, but he was lifted up on a cross. And yes, he was announced to the world, this is the king. But those words were chiseled into a block of wood that were above his dying and then dead body. A kingdom needs a king, according to Jesus' friends. And Jesus, the Messiah, had arrived to take his crown, to be robed and enthroned and announced. But to all intents and purposes, he did a very poor job at it. He wasn't the king that they were expecting for a minute. I remember seeing Macbeth for the first time as a teenager. And there was a line in it that haunted me for some time afterwards. The new king, Macbeth, was asserting his authority by putting down any would-be usurpers. Anyone who was a threat to the throne was being killed off. And he wasn't above hiring thugs to kill young boys. The Macduff boy was attacked and run through with a sword. And as that happened, he called out to his mother. He said, "He has killed me, mother. He has killed me, mother. Run away, I pray you." And it made me think, what must it like to know that you're dying? What is it to be killed and know the moment of it? That line really, it gave me the heebie-jeebies, is probably the technical term. And then we think, Jesus, in your moment of coronation, you were killed. What was that like? In your moment of coronation, you let go of every vestige of dignity. What was that like? It's not a very kingly thing to do. What a strange king you are, we will sometimes say to our Jesus. But the killing of Jesus from Nazareth was Satan's biggest ever mistake. Satan, that immensely powerful being, is right now, as we speak, uttering those words, "He has killed me," because he has. There is still evil in the world. There's still danger in the world. And there's still sin in the world. But the author, Louis Giglio, has likened evil and sin today to a decapitated snake. It's dead. The venom can still do us harm and can hurt us, but it's dead. Jesus, cruelly crowned, strangely robed, and murderously enthroned, is king. His kingdom is here, and all authorities and all individuals, and this is the bold claim, everyone has a choice to recognize him as king now or sometime down the line, but it will happen. He is a strange king in a strange kingdom. All other Caesars and Macbeths They exert their power. They flex. They have power over us. Gregory Boyd, another author, he describes Jesus as different. He says Jesus exerts power under us. And I mention those two authors not to flex and show off that I read, but just in case you mistake me at any point for an original thinker. I'm not. Jesus, the King of this kingdom we live in, has all power and all authority, but he wants us to choose for now. He wants us to make our own choice, whether we bow to him or not. He won't force our hand. Now, where we are physically right now, these counties that we live, I'm not even going to number them, these counties that we live in, the politics of these counties has never been straightforward. Some people we know and love wake up every morning and they know that they have awoken on British soil and they act accordingly. Other people that we know and love wake up each morning and they know that they have woken up on Irish soil and they act accordingly. Others that we know and love wake up each morning and pretty much keep their mouth shut because they don't want to open any can of worms. The kingdom of God is here, and it makes a spiritual and political claim on us. Jesus claims sovereignty over this land and all lands. If speaking about the kingdom of God and speaking about Jesus being the one who runs the show, if speaking about Jesus in that way does not open a can of worms, we've done it wrongly. It only ever causes disruption. Some of us like to say that Jesus is king of our hearts, and the earthly authorities that claim our taxes are a completely separate matter. Some of us like to say that Jesus is king of our hearts, and those authorities that we are under in our workplaces are a completely separate matter. Jesus is king, and all earthly authorities and all earthly individuals must decide where their allegiance lies. Sometimes I've made the mistake in speaking from the front. I've made the mistake of making Jesus' kingship an emotional choice. Do you feel that Jesus is king? Those are the questions that sometimes I've asked. The kingdom of God is here, and Jesus is king, whether we feel it or not. And we're asked to wake up each morning and act accordingly. And it sounds stark, and it sounds serious, because it is. It just is. Jesus being king, there being a kingdom of God, is not an article of religion. Yes, it's there in the back of our prayer books, but it's arguably not. It is just a political claim. It is there as a claim to us, and it's there as a question to us. Where does our allegiance lie? So if we were in this room and two authorities came in, let's say King Charles came in, and let's say, I don't know, make somebody else up. Another king came in and said, or a queen, and said, who are you going to be allied with? We'd have to make a choice. And it wouldn't be necessarily one that we felt emotional about. It would just have to be a logical choice. And sometimes we drain our faith of logic. It's a logical choice. This is a call to spiritual, political, and you could say even geographical allegiance. And it's being made to all people in all nations of the world. It's a call that we answer every day by saying, I do not acknowledge as Jesus as king of this land. Or it's a call that we acknowledge by getting up in the morning and say, I do acknowledge Jesus as king of this land, and I will act accordingly. It's there like a can of worms, and it's completely up to us for now how we respond. I'm going to ask us to take a quiet moment and just think some of these things through. If it's anything you want to talk about afterwards or anything you want to talk about during the week, please do. Please do. Nothing would make me happier. Nothing would make Jono happier than to talk about these things. It's our favorite thing to talk about. But let's take a moment to process these thoughts and these ideas. I'll maybe add one more thing, which might sound strange. Preparing this and this morning, thinking about this, was really hard. It sounds such a simple thing to say, Jesus is king. It sounds such a straightforward thing for a person with a collar to say. But it was difficult. There was almost like a, wouldn't usually say it, but almost like a heaviness, a weight. And I think sometimes we drain the world of its spirituality. We forget that there is a devil. We forget that Jesus has enemies. And in talking about things like this, the world would prefer that we didn't, and the devil would prefer that we didn't. And I realized that heaviness was, it was something wanting me not to talk about this in this particular way. And I prayed about it, took the dog for a walk, prayed about it some more, and it lifted. And so don't be surprised when you think about this, when you ponder these things in your mind, if you find in your head there's reasons not to consider this, or you find that there's opposition in your heart to thinking about this. I'll just raise that with you. So let's take a quiet moment, and then we'll pray before we sing together. Heavenly Father, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, he is our King. He was crowned, he was robed, he was enthroned and announced. And through his death and resurrection, he was given all authority. Be with us and protect us as we ally ourselves with your Son. And be with us and protect us if we're not there yet. And this is something we want to give thought to over these coming days. Amen. Keep your seats. And as you are sitting, we're going to sing, There Is a Higher Throne. And then we're going to invite May to come and lead us in prayer.
thanks and honor are to God our King, who reigns on high forevermore. And there we'll find a home, our life before.
Let us pray. Each prayer will conclude with the words, "Lord, in your mercy," and our joint response will be, "Hear our prayer." Almighty God and Father, we thank you that the head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. We celebrate with joy the kingship of Jesus. Give us grace to acknowledge his rule in our lives as well as with our lips, and to serve his worldwide kingdom, that the day may be hastened when all nations shall own him as Lord, and he shall reign forever and ever. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Our gracious God and Father, creator of all that is good, we thank you for the gift of life, for the wonder of the world in which you have placed us, and for all the blessings you so freely lavish upon us, your children. Help us to recognize your hand in the ordinary things of life, and never to be ungrateful for food and clothing, work and leisure, health and home, family and friends. So may we live from day to day in the knowledge of your love and goodness, giving thanks always for all things. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear God, we come to you today praying for the community of our church. We know that you have called us to be a light in the world, and we ask that you would bless and strengthen our community as we seek to fulfill that calling. Help us to be a source of love, hope, and encouragement to those who come to our church. May we be a place of refuge and healing for those who are hurting, and a community of support and accountability for those who are seeking to grow in their faith. Please help us to be mindful of the needs of our community and to be proactive in meeting those needs. May we be good stewards of the resources that you have given us, and use them in a way that furthers your kingdom and blesses those around us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we bring before you the needs of the world, especially remembering all those affected by devastating wildfires and floods recently in North America and India. We pray that you would provide for those without shelter, food, and water, and help those who govern these countries to make wise decisions that will help alleviate distress and bring speedy relief and support to those in need. We particularly remember at this time those leaders who are seeking ways forward with challenging issues that will affect people in many countries, for those looking at climate change, those working with refugees and migrants, and those working for peace in countries torn apart by war and terror. We pray that you would give them wisdom and that they would use their power for the greater good of all mankind. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear God, thank you for the leaders that you have given to us in this church. We thank you for Jono and Andy, for everything that they mean to us and for all that they do. Their commitment often goes above and beyond what we might expect. We pray for them and for their families who support them in the background. Help them all to know your blessing in their lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for all those who are suffering or distressed in any way. We pray that they will know your presence alongside them and the power of Christ the King within them, bringing peace and healing. We pray that you would encourage those who support and care for them. We bring before you all who have suffered the loss of a loved one in recent times. In their darkness and despair, we ask you to bring them hope and strength for the future. We pray for the family and friends of the 7 people who lost their lives over the past week in Tipperary, and ask that you will bring comfort to them at this time of inconceivable loss. Let us take a few moments now to name before God the people we know for whom life is very difficult at present. Surround all the people we have named in our hearts with your loving arms, we pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us conclude our prayers with the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Let's stand and worship our King together. We'll stand and sing Ancient of Days.
Is here with me,
King knows my name, for my God is the Ancient of Days. None above him, none before him, all of time in his hands, for his throne it shall remain and ever stand. All the power, all the glory, I will trust in his name, for my God is the Ancient of Days. Though I may not see what the future brings, I will watch and wait for the Savior King. Then my joy face to face in the presence of the Ancient of Days. None above him, none before him, all of time in his hands, for his throne it shall remain and ever stand. All the power, God is the Ancient of Days.
As we stand together, let's pray together and go out into the world together. We go into the world. We go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives, as well as our worship, be always pleasing in your sight. For the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The God of hope, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who is one, make us, who are all so different, into one body of love, into one body subject to Jesus our King. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you all and those whom you love, now and forevermore. Amen. Our closing hymn is How Great Thou Art.
Oh Lord, my God.